Welcome to the Property Nomads podcast. And here are your hosts, Rob Smallbone and Matt McSherry.
Property sourcing explained, that is the theme of this episode, and we're going to take a bit of a different spin on it. So rather than having a very open discussion, it's more going to be interview based. So myself will be interviewing Matt, asking him a lot of questions about property sourcing, what it is, what to look for, etc, etc. So rather than waffle on, let's deep dive straight into it. Matt, what is a property sourcing agent?
Right then, well, property sourcing is the activity by which deals are found, negotiated and packaged by a property sourcer to then be sold to a property investor for a fee. So the sourcing agent is obviously the person that carries that out and charges a fee for their services.
So it's effectively someone that's on the ground that's doing a lot of the donkey work as such for investors.
In a nutshell, essentially, yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Why would someone want to use a sourcing agent?
So I'd say the main reason would be leverage. You know, someone might not have the necessary time, but they might have the cash. So in that instance, you could utilize a property sourcer because they would be able to go out, do all the donkey work, as you say, find the deals, whether it's through an agent or off market, you know, market to find direct to vendor deals. So they're using their money as well for marketing things. You can utilize and leverage all of that and just give the money to carry out the services so they can find you the property. They can potentially project management the refurb with their own team, and then they can get the property let out and managed thereon.
So effectively, if I was, not that I'm from Cornwall, but if I was from Cornwall, living in Cornwall, and I was thinking of doing buy-to-let investments in Middlesbrough, for example, are you suggesting that then, in order to save my time and about a 7 or 8 hour journey, that utilising a property sourcer could be advantageous?
Yeah, I mean, you could look at that in many different ways. I mean, most property sources offer orientation days, which are also known as investor days. Now that will be maybe half a day or a few hours worth of meeting them for a coffee. They'll probably present you with a map and they'll go through what strategies work best where, what the best areas are for buy-to-let, what best areas for HMOs, the areas to avoid, the areas to look at, where the best areas for families, you know, so they'll really pinpoint the best areas. And not only that, they'll take you for a drive around so you can get a feel for the area. And this, for example, is just going to advance your knowledge on the area exponentially. And that, again, if you're not looking to actually use a source of moving forward, but you want to learn about the area, then leveraging their orientation days or investor days in itself is going to advance you a lot quicker than you would if you didn't utilize them. And then on the other side of that, if you've, you know, you've got the money, but you've not got the necessary time to keep going back and forth to put offers forward, to build a power team, so on and so forth, then by utilizing a sourcer, then you can get them to find you the property, project manage your property, and obviously manage the property. So you're essentially getting a hands-off investment and you're just giving them money.
So from an investor point of view, how would I know that, just say, an orientation day was done and so forth, how would I know that what the property source was telling me was correct and they weren't just giving a lot of, you know, BS?
Well, this is where due diligence comes in. You need to make sure that you do a background check on them and that you really figure out that, through word of mouth, essentially, you find out who they are they say they are, essentially. You ask them for any previous deals they've done, so you get them to send you them over. So don't be afraid to speak to them and be open and transparent with them and request for information, to request for previous deals and just to really grill them to find out that they can carry out the service that you require.
A property sourcer could be quite a reliable part of your power team, without a shadow of a doubt, but you also have to do an element of your own homework just to make sure that what they're saying positively correlates to what you already know.
100%. And the thing is as well, if you don't know the area, then I'd advise this, you carry it out all the time, because at the end of the day, if they send you a brochure of a deal and, you know, they've got the comparables and all this and that on there, it's always essential that you go away and you go on the right move, you know, you do all your net house price checks and stuff like that to make sure that this deal is what they say it is. Because at the end of the day, if they're giving you something which is, because you don't know the area, that could be potentially taking advantage of yourself because you don't know the area in depth enough to work out whether these comparables are actually correct.
How much, or what would the investment be for a typical orientation day?
From my experience, what I charge £300, and that's around 4 hours.
In that 4 hours, is that a case of being driven around, you know, a lot of map session? What would you get for that investment if we were to
Yeah, so as I touched on earlier, so it's essentially I'd meet with the investor. We'd have a brief overview of what their strategy is, what their current position is, how much money they've got, what access to funds they've got, if they've got a power team in place already. And then from then on, once we've kind of figured out what it is they want, we would take them for a drive around the area and we'd show them the good areas, the bad areas, obviously what strategies work best where, and just give them a feel for the area essentially. And then we'd also show them some of our current projects. So we'd introduce them to our building team. You know, we'd take them some of our projects that are in the pipeline or the projects that are actually in the process of being project managed. And any deals that we've got to source on as well, then we could show them around them on viewings and give them a good overview of what we can, what services we can provide to them. And then at the end of the session, what we do is around about 45 minutes at the end, we'll provide them with some maps and some information about the area. Obviously things that are going to be happening moving forward within the market, where we can see it going. And on the map, we would obviously identify the areas of which we've taken them around, and would also put on there what strategies work where in certain areas, and really just kind of help them finalize their strategy so they're happy and confident moving forward.
Are there specialist property sources that deal with, for example, just buy-to-lets, or as a property sourcer, would you cover a whole range of things such as land, commercial? Can you get a specialist buy-to-let sourcer? Can you get a specialist land property sourcer? Or are all property sourcers doing a whole mixture?
I think it totally depends on the individual. I mean, I've met people who specifically just work within buy-to-lets, and I've worked with people or spoke to people who have covered the variation of all different strategies. I mean, I myself, I work on a number of different strategies. I don't just focus on one. So I predominantly cover buy-to-let and HMOs. I have done some commercial mixed use here and there, and I've also touched on a little bit of land as well. The way I look at it is I'm always looking to learn and develop and grow my skills. So say, for example, I was presented with some land, and I wanted to learn a little bit about it. If I was going to source that piece of land on, then what I'd do is I'd decrease my fee, and in return for that, I would request that I have some sort of kind of like mentorship along the way of the process, so that I can learn a little bit more about the land development and so on and so forth. So it's about a bit of a trade-off. So obviously, say for example, land, I'd usually charge around 2%. Of the purchase price. So with that, I'd lower it to around, you know, 1%, and then in return to get a bit of mentorship along the way to learn more about it moving forward, so that whenever land was presented to me again, I'd know exactly what I was doing.
From your experience, are there any sort of national set fees property sources would charge, or does that depend on the deal and the area and what's going
on? Yeah, I think there's a few factors that you've got to take into consideration. So if the property is on market or whether it's off market, how much work has gone into that specific that deal, you know, because people don't see what goes on behind closed doors. They just see the deal that's been presented to them. But really, in essence, the work that's gone into that particular deal, they could have worked hours upon hours, you know, leafleting direct to vendor in the rain. You know, they could have been building relationships, and all of a sudden, 6 months to a year, they managed to get a lead from that, which they're sourcing on. So people don't see the extent of work that goes into it. So these are all the things that you've got to factor into your decision when working with a sourcer. And again, building them relationships to understand the work that's actually gone into to presenting you with that deal. So I suppose, obviously, going on to your question, fee-wise, usually for a buy-to-let off-market, around £3,000. If it was on-market, chances are less effort will have gone into it. So around anything from 1,500 up to the 3,000 mark. HMOs, again, slightly different. Can be anything in the region of £3,000 up to £10,000 plus in some cases as well. So I suppose there's no right or wrong fee structure to this, actually. It's just self-preference on the work that's gone into it, and then obviously how much below market value has the property been secured as well. So there's a few factors to think about, but I don't think there's any right or wrong answer.
So in a nutshell, it will vary depending on the source around that.
Exactly that, yeah.
What would you need to look for in a reliable property sourcing agent? Are there any professional bodies that an agent should be, I say that in inverted commas, should be a part of? What would I need to look for doing my homework on a sourcer?
Because obviously property is a very unregulated market, so you need to be, you know, you need that security essentially. So if you are looking for a property sourcer, then what I'm about to say is essential that you make sure that these property sourcers have relevant experience and relevant members of the property bodies. So the first thing I'd look for would be the sourcer is either a member of the property ombudsman or the property redress scheme. Now, this will provide extra security in case of any disputes, as it can easily be reported and risen to the complaints department. And obviously, any further action necessary for that would be taken. On top of that, a reliable agent would have professional indemnity and public liability insurance. So this is obviously providing further protection for yourself and for the property sourcer as well. Should you be unhappy with a deal or the service they're providing, then obviously you can put forward a claim. On top of that, a reliable sourcer should also be a member of the ICO, which is the Information Commissioner's Office. This again ensures that the sourcer is obviously following the GDPR regulations, so the General Data Protection Regulations, and carrying out good practice as well. And on top of that, a compliant sourcer should also be registered with the HMRC Anti-Money Laundering as well. And this is to ensure protection for both yourself and the agent. So all of this consolidated together essentially makes a compliant sourcer. But on top of that as well, what a lot of people fail to realise is it's okay having this behind you, but if you've not got the relevant legalities in place, i.e. documentations, heads of terms, then essentially you're not going to be fully compliant. So if you're speaking to a sourcing agent and you know you're requesting for some of their deals, you should really be getting an NDA, which is a non-disclosure agreement, which then they can file on the database, put you onto their database, and then you can start receiving further deals that they get.
If, for example, a property sourcing agent, just say they've got all of the anti-money laundering bits and pieces in place, but they're not part of the property ombudsman or property redress scheme, would you consider that to be a deal breaker and advise not to go with them? Or, I mean, is it 100% they have to have these? Or, are people going to work in different ways?
Well, essentially, you will not be fully compliant sourcer if that's the case. So, obviously, the property ombudsman and the property redress scheme, obviously, you only sign up to one of them. It's either or, depending on, obviously, your situation. There's no right or wrong for that. So, if you're not signed up to one of them, you're not a member of one of them, then you're not going to have any sort of security in the sense of being able to put a complaint forward about that individual, that sourcing agent. So therefore, they're probably going to be under the radar and get away with whatever they're doing. So again, they won't be fully compliant.
Fine, so that kind of, in a nutshell, that would explain what I would need to look for in a sourcing agent, and then what to avoid as well to an extent.
Well, yeah, so again, in regards to what to avoid, everything I've said here, if they've not got any of the above, or if they're lacking in certain areas, or they're missing one, missing two, then you need to really consider even working with them.
In terms of processes, then, like, for example, reservation fees can be quite a bit of a hindrance to some people.
Yeah.
A deal might get offered for £3,000, but the sourcer might request £1,000 up front. Is that common practice for that to be done?
Absolutely. Again, this is self-preference. Some people charge £250. Some people charge 50% of the fee. There's no right or wrong way to look at this. I've had some people in the past actually ask this direct message to me, saying that a sourcer has requested that they pay 50% upfront fee. Now, again, there's no right or wrong way to look at this. So if that's how they work, then that's totally up to them, because some sourcers have had bad experiences. So therefore, because of that, their way of being able to combat that is charging more upfront to mitigate any risks moving forward. So, but I myself, at the moment, I just charge £250, which is non-refundable if the investor decides to pull out. However, it is refundable if anything unforeseen happens with the actual property deal and the vendor pulls out for whatever reason, then it would be refundable. So again, with this one, there's no right or wrong way of looking at it. It's just totally self-preference to that sourcer.
So for example, if you bought a property to someone, reservation fee paid, and then it got up seriously downvalued, would you then refund the investor their money back if they didn't proceed with it? Just say there's a dramatic down valuation by £15,000-£20,000.
Yeah. Again, that just totally depends on the sourcing agent. Me personally, I would refund that, because that just shows that that's lack of due diligence on my side. So yeah, in that case, I definitely would.
That's fair and that's understandable. In terms of finding a property sourcer then, if I'm a complete novice, I've not done this before, how do I go and find a sourcing, a property sourcer?
Right, well, as we've touched on quite a lot throughout all these episodes, is word of mouth recommendations. I think that is essential, because you know from that people have great experiences with working with a specific property sourcer. So yeah, word of mouth is always a very good way. Again, with word of mouth recommendations, I still 100% recommend that you do carry out your own due diligence on them. On top of that, another great way is going down to your chosen area, going to local property networking events and speaking to people there, because chances are there's probably going to be a few property sources floating around here and there, and it's always good to meet them in person, you know, get a feel for how they are, see if there's any synergy there as well, and just kind of build that relationship to see if they kind of fit the criteria of what you're looking for a property sourcer. On top of that as well, I'd highly recommend social media platforms. LinkedIn for me has been really good, because on LinkedIn you can really pinpoint property sources in certain areas. And that works well for me, and when I'm obviously speaking to other people about it, I always recommend them to go over to LinkedIn. And also on top of that, you've got your Facebook groups. There's so many different property groups out there, so just sign up to as many as you can, be active on there, you know, put out the odd few questions here and there, and see what comes back. Chances are, if you put "are there any property sources in X area" on some of the platforms, you're going to get a lot of word of mouth recommendations, and chances are you're going to get a lot of sources directly approaching you to give them to give you their services and what they can do for you.
A lot of times in property, you know, people almost get sold this sort of vision where it's all singing and dancing and all roses and, you know, fluffy pillows and all that mumbo jumbo. Stuff in property can go wrong. So not that I'm insinuating with this question that it will go wrong, but if something were to go wrong, what would, from an investor point of view, what would the options be?
The first option would be to speak directly to the sourcing agent and find out what's happened, you know, what's gone wrong along the way. Because I think some people did avoid that straight away and try and take it further, but you can actually iron out a lot of issues just by speaking. Communication is key at the end of the day. So yeah, so option one would be 100% to get in contact with the agent, have a chat with them and try and sort it out with them, essentially. I suppose option two would be to then make a claim against them. I'd probably start by going down the route of the property redress scheme or the property ombudsman to be able to work with that sourcing agent. They should have, from the onset, been a part or a member of them to mitigate any risks moving forward. So option two would be to make a claim against them or make a complaint against them, should I say, and follow the procedure there. And then if you wanted to take it further there, you could then make a claim by using their professional indemnity insurance as well and go down that route.
Yeah, and I'd say the only reason it's fair to just touch base on that, because I say a lot of people get, say, sold this vision of, you know, everything's all singing and dancing, that I'm sure there will be time in everyone's, you know, property ventures where something inevitably does go wrong. Obviously, we hope it doesn't, but it can go wrong. And in this instance, as with most things, I guess, in property, having that level of communication is essential. Do you find 9 times out of 10 when you're dealing with people, whether it's new investors or vendors looking to sell their property, do you just find that communication is that key element?
Communication and transparency. It's about being totally open and honest with them from the onset, and vice versa for the investor as well. You know, if the investor is telling a few white lies here and there, or they're saying they've got X amount of funds in the bank when they've not, then it's not going to work. If they decided to pursue one of your deals that you had, but then you chase up with a proof of funds and have not actually got the relevant amount of money in their bank account, as I've first said initially, then that is just going to throw a spanner in the works, and it's going to break down relationships, and then moving forward you're not going to essentially work with them again. So it's just about openness, communication, transparency from the onset to mitigate any risks moving forward. And I suppose that leads me on to obviously proof of funds, that I've just mentioned as well. Usually it's with a property sourcer, they would request for a proof of funds. If you're sending them deals out after you've signed an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, then you should really be followed up with a proof of funds to mitigate any time wasting, essentially.
So before we wrap up, I was just going to touch on going through the process from start to finish. So for argument's sake, I live in Cornwall, you're sourcing in Hull, we've met on Facebook or whatever it is, I want to be added to your list, or I want you to find me a buy-to-let property. If we can, go through this process one by one. So we've already connected, we've met, we've had a coffee or whatever it is, we've done an orientation day and it was good value for money. Now it's time to do business. So what would your steps be? What would you need from me to start off with? How do you work?
Initially, I'd get my investors to sign a non-disclosure agreement. From that, I'd also ask for a proof of funds to ensure that they've got the relevant amount of funds in their account to purchase any deals. And then from that, once I've got the relevant information, I would then send out any deals that I get through. From there, if they decided to pursue any of the deals, then obviously I'd request for two forms of identification. I've already obviously received the proof of funds, so that would be already on file. And then I'd also ask for solicitors' details as well. Say, for example, they didn't have solicitors' details, I would then recommend some of the solicitors I've got on my team. Then from that information that I've gathered, I would have taken a reservation fee up front to secure that deal, so that if anyone else requests information on this deal, I'll just classify it as sold. From then, I would then send a memorandum of sale to both solicitors to obviously introduce and to show that obviously a deal will be carried out and someone will be purchasing that property. And then on, it's pretty much just chasing up with the solicitors to get things moving quickly. And say, for example, if an investor wanted further services from myself, i.e. project management of the refurb and utilising my own team, we would then have talks and we would get them a builder's quote from my builder's team. And if they were happy to move forward with the refurb amount, we would then instruct on completion of the deal the builders to start the refurb, and I would project manage and oversee the refurbishment.
And then what about the back end process lettings wise? Will some sources have their own lettings agency? Will some sources be able to recommend utilising a certain agent? How would that work?
Yeah, 100%. Well, at the moment in time, I've not got a letting agent myself. However, I've got some really good relationships with local letting agents in the area. So with myself, with the projects that I've got going through and have gone through, we just hand them over and refer them to our letting agents who we've got a really good relationship with, and then they oversee the management thereon.
I suppose at the end of the day, with all of this, a property sourcer can do as much or as little as an investor you would want them to. So it could just be a property find service, job done. It could be the full works, project management, lettings at the end.
It's also known as deal packaging, essentially, that one.
Ah, right, okay. So if someone says deal packaging, we're talking of a similar thing here.
Yeah. So obviously you've got sourcing, which I suppose essentially is just finding and sourcing a property, and that's it. Then you've got the deal packaging, which is you're utilising your team, you're finding the deal, you're securing the deal as you've negotiated it, and then thereon, you'll get it managed after the refurb as well. So that is essentially deal package. So I suppose there's them two different factors. There's many others which I won't go into because there's a fair few, but they're essentially the main ones.
I think that covers absolutely everything. I don't have any other further questions, certainly from, say, using this example as being a novice investor. At least I'd be very comfortable having spoken to you and listened to what you've said in looking to do business from that extent, from everything that you've said. Is there anything else the listeners would need to be aware of when they're dealing with property sources? Anything you've not mentioned already?
Yeah, I wouldn't really say anything I've not mentioned. Again, I can't stress enough how important it is to carry out due diligence on a sourcer and the deals that they send over. I've heard of a lot of horror stories in the past because, like I say, it is a very unregulated market. Therefore, make sure that you're building relationships with the sourcer before you decide to use their services. Find out off other people how the services have been for them. Make sure that you're communicating all the time because it is essential that you find out everything that you can. And just be open and transparent from the onset, and there shouldn't be any issues.
Do you tailor deals to specific people, or is it all list-based, i.e. first come, first served off an email list?
Very varied, if I'm totally honest. We have some investors that come to us with specific criteria, and we actively go out there and search for that specific criteria for them. And at the same time, obviously through direct-to-vendor marketing, you know, we do get quite a few off-market properties, and should that not fit the criteria of certain investors, then we just put that out to everybody on our database, as you say, on a first-come, first-served basis. And obviously, whoever decides to pursue that the quickest will get to move forward with that one.
Matt, thank you very much. That's really, really useful as ever. If people want to get hold of you to find out more about the sourcing services that could be offered, what's the best way to get in touch with yourself?
So you can message me direct on email at matt@thepropertynomads.co.uk, or you can like our Facebook page, which is The Property Nomads. And alternatively, you can visit our website, which is www.thepropertynomads.co.uk.
And Facebook Messenger as well, direct
yourself. Yeah, that's absolutely fine.
Time. And then listener, hopefully you've enjoyed that concept of what we've just done as well, utilising someone like Matt's knowledge extensively on property sourcing, what to look for, what not to look for, especially if you're a new investor and you're not 100% sure. You might actually be an experienced investor, but you've never used a property sourcing agent before. So that spin, I think, we put on the episode, hopefully that served you in some way. I've certainly learned, you know, a lot more than I already did, so it's been really, really useful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Speak soon.
Take care.